Together. Father, we pray that you will speak into our lives, that we will know your grace and that you will be held by your love, that we will rejoice in all the blessings we have, and that we will have open eyes, minds, hearts to see the world that is around us and will want to follow you into the suffering. Give us grace to so do, in your name. Amen. So Simply Jesus, his life, his kingdom, reflections towards Easter. And it has to be said, doesn't it, these last 2 weeks have been real stinkers. It's not quite always like this, but this has been a particularly grim last fortnight. We started on Monday the 11th of March with Godfrey's funeral. Godfrey, the most saintly of men, great servant of this church, died 2 weeks before his 62nd birthday after 7 years of disabling illness. And later that week came yet another terrorist atrocity, but this time Muslims were the victims, the outrage of the Christchurch mosque shootings. Then last weekend we heard of the devastating floods in West Papua, and then the what is being described as the worst natural disaster ever, certainly in the southern hemisphere, that has brought devastation to Mozambique, Zimbabwe and Malawi. Meanwhile, back at home, more or less at the same time as we were hearing this is the worst ever natural disaster, our councillors on Surrey County Council were debating a motion that the council should, like a number of other councils across the country, declare a climate emergency, committing to urgent action. The council members, though, saw fit to amend this motion to something like working towards zero emissions. And so 49 councillors preferred this climate change, maybe we'll do something about it sometime, stance to the 10 who wanted the climate emergency declared, with 3 abstentions. I'm pleased to say that our councillor Hazel Watson was one of the 10. And into all this personal tragedy, worldwide devastation and political action, inaction, let's not even mention the word Brexit in this review of the last 2 weeks, we reflect on and celebrate Jesus, his life, his kingdom. What can this mean? In the reading from Mark's Gospel, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am? Who do you say I am?" The disciples had been with Jesus for around 3 years, so they must have been wondering, who is this utterly enigmatic, holy, charismatic person? A prophet in the great line of prophets? Maybe John the Baptist? Or, as it would have been well known that John had been executed by King Herod, perhaps like John the Baptist, a prophet for these times? Or, perhaps like Elijah, a forerunner for the Messiah? None of this, though, is enough to explain the person they had encountered. Peter looks at Jesus. The realization comes. Inspiration. The penny drops. You. It's you. You are the Christ. The Savior. The long-awaited Messiah. Of course he is the Messiah. He heals people. He demonstrates power over nature. Power even over death. There is a lightness about him. He enjoys the hill walks, time by the sea, walking through cornfields. He is so full of life. He teaches like no one has taught before, with authority. Even the demons submit to him. He really seems to care for people. People most of us don't have the time of day for. Women, children, the ill, disabled, even tax collectors and prostitutes. He cares for them all. No, not just cares. He loves, loves with a love never experienced before. With Jesus, life must have seemed like a great party. Lots of laughter and fun and celebration. And of course, he forgives sins. He said to that paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." And he talked about the Son of Man having authority on earth to forgive sins. And he made some reference, didn't he? About the Son of Man being Lord even of the Sabbath. Forgiving sins, Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, yes. He was referring to himself, the Son of Man. As in the prophecies of Daniel, the Messiah, a.k.a. the Son of Man, a.k.a. the Christ. It all comes together for Peter. You, Jesus, are he, the Christ. The glorious epiphany and then the crushing fall to reality. This Jesus the Christ, now recognized, does not speak about how his kingdom will come in mighty power, putting the world to rights, overcoming the Roman oppressors. He doesn't say anything that accords with how the Jewish people expected the Messiah, the Christ, to be. Instead, he first tells the disciples not to tell anyone. And then he begins to teach them that the Christ, the Son of Man, he, Jesus, must suffer many things, be rejected by the authorities, and be killed. Peter, in shock and dismay, thinks he can reprove Jesus. Matthew's gospel gives more details. "Never, Lord," he says, "this will never happen to you." But Jesus recognizes the voice of the ever-present devil trying to disrupt and overturn God's way. He turns, looks at his disciples, and he rebukes Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Merely human concerns, not able to see the big picture, God's plan. For his kingdom to come, sin, death, and the devil must be defeated. There must be a new humanity, and that can only happen. God's kingdom can only come. It's the only way possible, by loving service, worship of God, prayer, directly taking on the devil's power, the power of sin and death, by going to the cross. Peter, in his fear and outrage at Jesus' words of suffering and death, may have missed him say, "After 3 days, he will rise again." The power of the resurrection. God defeats sin, death, and the devil in his death in Christ Jesus. The powers of evil are overcome. We struggle to understand, I'm sure, and how much more the disciples, only been with Jesus 3 years, they must have been reeling, trying to understand. Resurrection, but suffering, rejection, death, the way of the Christ. And then Jesus throws in another sledgehammer. "This is the way it has to be. My suffering, my rejection, my death, and also yours too. If anyone would come after me," he says, "he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You too must lay aside your own desires. Leave to God your hopes and dreams. Think not first even of your own happiness. Lay it all down, deny yourself, die to yourself, trust God and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus to Jerusalem, to the heart of the powers and authorities. Follow Jesus in giving loving service, worship of God. Give yourself to prayer. Take on the devil's power, the power of sin and death. Follow Jesus in bringing the kingdom of God with the great project of a new, redeemed humanity." I often think that if I'd been one of the disciples, this is the point where I might have gone home. The Jesus of miracles, great teaching, super parties is a Jesus we all want to follow, I'm sure. People today, don't they, often look for churches where it's all happening. But the Jesus of sacrificial service, of taking up your cross, not so appealing. So if I had been a disciple, I might well have thought, with all this talk of suffering and giving up yourself, I might have thought, enough's enough, I'm off back to Galilee. Back to the old life, friends and family, fishing every day, not so bad, the views are nice, and it's home. But the disciples didn't. They set themselves to following Jesus, denying themselves, taking up their cross, metaphorically and sometimes literally. Some of the disciples were later crucified. Why did they? I guess all the great experiences of the last 3 years. There truly is nothing like being with Jesus. And I guess too, though, that like all of us, they surely knew deep within themselves the truth of Jesus' words. "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Yes, there is a more comfortable life to be had not following Jesus. A more comfortable life had to be had pleasing yourself, putting home comforts first and ease first, not bothering about God. But what a waste of a life. You can gain the whole world, fill your life with all the world's pleasures, and yet be left with a great gaping hole, a great emptiness where your soul should be. Your soul that can only be fed and built by turning to God, following the Christ Jesus in his kingdom. So thank God you almost certainly will not literally have to take up your cross as Christians do in some parts of the world, crucified for their faith even today. But if you're truly to be a follower of Jesus, his apprentice, truly have a meaningful life, this is where it starts. Give yourself in sacrificial service over to God. And so, just some examples of this miserable last couple of weeks, in all of the bitter events of the last couple of weeks. An apprentice of Jesus, well, somebody else might want to go back to Galilee, or more likely the comfort of the hills here, and just go insular and ignore all that's going on. But as an apprentice of Jesus, you can't do that. You follow him into the places of suffering and evil. You care for and visit the sick and disabled, as a number of you visited Godfrey, and you see the difference that faith makes as it shines out in the life of Godfrey as it did. And you recognise that we're all part of a world where terrorist atrocities happen, and we can all, by our thoughts, words and actions, build for peace or not. You are appalled at the suffering in West Papua and Mozambique and Zimbabwe and Malawi, and you are free to respond, not with £10, to be honest, not with 20. You're free to respond with a generous sacrificial love that reflects a tiny part of the sacrificial generous love of our Saviour, the Christ Jesus. Why are you able to give sacrificially? Because you've laid down your life, you've handed over your life, you are no longer part of this world. The world does not have its grip on you. And so that money that you might have had for whatever other purpose, you know you can be free to just give it for God's kingdom. And then you also get involved, surely, politically. Because for 30 years and more, there have been climate deniers and prevaricators, and now the situation is urgent. And so I am, as area dean, I'm writing to all of our local representatives and councillors and our MP, asking them how they're responding. And I want to pick up, and I hope and pray with the church locally in this area, about that motion the other day to deny that there's a climate emergency going on. In all of this, we cannot ignore, because we are apprentices, we are followers of Jesus. We are his disciples. Of course, we can choose. We can choose to go back. We can choose to go back to Galilee. Or we can say, this is where life is. And where then we will save our life, we will save our soul in being part of the building of the kingdom of God. We will know that we've found life, not just for now, but we've found eternal life. You will know deep within that amongst all of the illness, evil and suffering, that there is resurrection to come. And you know that you'll be welcomed home as a citizen of heaven, where sickness and suffering, sin, death and the devil are vanquished. Gone, God lives with man and woman. His kingdom has come. So, reflections towards Easter. Jesus, his life, his kingdom. He calls you to follow, if you will. Amen.